Blog Talk Radio.
Women have the power to transform this world. We can end crime and violence if we all agree to do one thing: share. Let's share our wisdom, share our time, share our talents, share our finances, but most of all, let's share our love. This is the Female Solution. Join me, Naima Latif, every morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we bring you stimulating discussions about the issues affecting our lives. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution, press the blue button that says follow and get our daily topics every morning directly to your email and your smartphone.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Radio Show. We invite you to call in 515-605-9325 and participate in this daily think tank as we examine the challenges we face and develop solutions that restore peace and harmony. We are global transformers, changing the world from the way it is to the way it should be. We are one. Wherever we live on this earth, we are one human family. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to extend a greeting to all the members of our family, whenever and wherever you may be listening around the world. To our family in China, Ni Hao. In India, Namaste. In Japan, Konnichiwa. In Korea, Annyeonghaseyo. In Russia, Zdravstvuyte. In Germany, Guten Tag. In Poland, Dzień dobry. In France, Bonjour. In Spain, Hola. In Italy, Ciao. In Egypt, Ahlan wa sahlan. In Ghana, Akwaba. In Nigeria, Peleo. In South Africa, Saubona. In Senegal, Nangadef. In Kenya, Jambo. In Israel, Shalom. In Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Saudi Arabia, Assalamu alaikum. Greetings, and may peace be upon you all.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif. Join me and my co-host Kareem Hamid every Wednesday morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. on the Female Solution Radio Show as we explore that relationship that is the foundation for our society, the relationship between men and women, husbands and wives. Join our discussion as we seek to repair broken family ties and rebuild our community. Listen online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to our hosts. Or you can join us live on Facebook at www.facebook.com/the-female-solution.
We have an opportunity to transform the whole global society in the next 50 years. 50 years from now, the Earth will be populated by a new generation of adults, many of whom are yet unborn. Our mission is to nurture them in childhood with love, guidance, and protection, and to raise them in healthy, happy families. If we impart values of compassion, generosity, and respect for fellow human beings in the next generation of children, they will create a world where people can live together in peace. This is our goal. Be a part of the transformation. Get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. Go to www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com. We have an opportunity to transform the whole global society in the next 50 years. 50 years from now, the Earth will be populated by a new generation of adults, many of whom are yet unborn. Our mission is to nurture them in childhood with love, guidance, and protection, and to raise them in healthy, happy families. If we impart values of compassion, generosity, and respect for fellow human beings in the next generation of children, they will create a world where people can live together in peace. This is our goal. Be a part of the transformation. Get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. Go to www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com.
Legislation that he has supported and advocated for, and measures that he's spoken up for. So we often are not aware that our congressional representatives are having an international impact in the work that they do. And we need to understand that when someone is elected to Congress, they are, in fact, representing a government that is making policies that is affecting the world. So we really must be more astute when it comes to how our government affects the world. When our representatives support legislation that may interfere with the sovereignty of other nations, or when our government supports legislation that assists nations in their building and development. Whatever the case is, we should be aware so that when we elect someone, we know what their policies are. We know what their philosophy is. So Congressman Danny K. Davis is the cover story on this edition of Africa USA Today magazine. And it's quite a powerful magazine. One of the things we're going to talk to our guest, the publisher, Olawale Idris, about is the upcoming Nigerian Independence Day. There are things that we don't know as Americans. So I want to welcome to our show this morning my dear brother and publisher of this brilliant magazine, Africa USA Today, Olawale Idris. Assalamu alaikum. Thank you so much for joining us today on the Female Solution Global Radio TV Show. Check your mute on your phone. Make sure we can hear you clearly.
Okay. Can you hear me now?
Yes, there we are. Yes. Wonderful. Thank you so much for joining us. We certainly appreciate you taking the time out. You gotta hurry and get out the door to get to work. But we did want to let our listeners and viewers know about this wonderful magazine. And, you know, many people are not aware of how America's government impacts the rest of the world. And you featured Congressman Danny Davis on the cover of this latest edition. And he, of course, has been in Congress for 11 terms and is probably one of the most effective in terms of his worldview, his support of African nations. So also, I see you have a story about the upcoming, well, first of all, let me let the audience know you recently won an award. Tell us about the award you were presented as publisher of this magazine.
Yes, yes. Thank you, my sister Naima. Thank you. It is a great pleasure to be on your show. By the way, let me first of all say you're doing a very good job. You are doing a very, very good job. I really admire what you're doing. And yes, you know, we just gave an award, to so many people on July 3rd, 2021. People that we felt they deserve the award for what they are doing in their various capacity. Yeah, whether it's political, whether it's business, fashion show, in various capacity. So we recognize them. And thank God it was very successful. So that gave us energy to want to do more next year, 2022, God willing. So we're taking the show on the road from Chicago to Beverly Hills, California, because we have been invited. They say, oh, wow, we love what you did in Chicago. So why don't you bring it to big screen in Beverly Hills, California. So, hey, so we feel very honored to do that. Thank you.
Yes. Well, we're certainly looking forward to a great gala affair in Los Angeles. They can fly on out there. But I think that would definitely get to the next level, you know, and it deserves that wider platform for sure out in L.A. and, you know, among the stars. So we're looking forward to that. Now, you mentioned, an article here mentions the upcoming Nigerian Independence Day. And a lot of people don't know about the history of Nigeria and the work that had to be done to get loose from colonial forces. Can you give us a brief, I guess, history of who colonized Nigeria and how Nigeria was able to get free in order to officially be independent?
Yes, yes. You know that's a very long story. If we have to start on that, we might be on this program for the rest of the day. But in a nutshell, of course, the British colonized Nigeria. Nigeria got independence on October 1st, 1960, which is about 61 years ago now. There have been so many political unrest, so many coups that have been hindering the nation, the country, from progressing forward, at least in the global arena. Yes, people that know about African continent, you know, you cannot talk about Africa without mentioning Nigeria, right? You know, so many countries so, you know, popular there. As a matter of fact, I think people talk about Ghana or South Africa more than they talk about Nigeria. Whereas people that know, they know Nigeria is the most populated black country in the African continent. The country is so blessed with so many material resources. You know, you want to do business in Africa, you know, you have to go through Nigeria. Unfortunately, the country itself or the people there, perhaps they do not really appreciate what blessings they got in that country. You know, if you are in your own country, you may not appreciate what you got. But if you go to foreign country and you hear what people are saying about your country, you're like, yes, I'm from there, I'm from Nigeria. everybody likes good news. You know, you like to be appreciated for who you are or what you are. Even in America here, look at my case of my brothers and my sister that are going through one hardship or another. I've had so many African-American brothers, and I hate to say this, that is, oh, this country is no good, this country is a piece of, you know, I don't want to mention the name on this platform, but I often told them that, look, you don't appreciate what you have here. If you don't believe me, take your U.S. passport and travel to Nigeria. Stay at the Nigeria airport and flash that blue passport of U.S. People will come to you worshiping you, literally, you know, bend down. Oh, you're from America? Can I go back with you? Can I go with you? So that's why I said to my brothers, I said, really? Really? I'm going to go to Nigeria. You know, so that's just an example of how we Nigerians are. We don't really appreciate that country. I do understand, because of the political unrest, you know, people say, oh, there are only a few rich people. There are so many poor people. Okay, I understand that. We all know that. No matter which country you go, there will always be a class of people. There will be rich people and there will be poor people. There will be medium people. So there's nothing new. And personally for me, one of the reasons that got me into publishing this, my own online magazine, is because I often look at the bright side of everything. People that know me, they know that I need solutions. Not the problem. Problem is easy to identify. We know the problem that, you know, there is an economic hardship. People need to buy clothes. They need to get a new house, new job. They cannot get it easily. Understand? People can protest about that. But still, there are good things, there are good sides to it. Look at the bright side. You know, the country has oil. Not too many people around the world that are blessed with producing petroleum. Foreign countries, they go to Nigeria, they make bugu money, serious money. They go back to their country with the Nigerian money. So that's enough to say that, yes, people in Nigeria should protest. I do agree with that. I do understand. But that's not the end of the world. There are still so many avenues that, you know, we can celebrate the country. So, I mean, if you follow the news of Nigeria, you see so many protests, so many killings of young people, kidnapping. Yes, that's enough to protest. But still, the country has to move on. The country has to progress. And that is the basis on which I am joining the people that wants to celebrate the Nigeria 64th Independence Day on Sunday, October 3rd, 2021. The venue is right there on Harambee Hall. Harambee Hall. I think the address is 1240 West Randolph Street in Chicago. So that is what I have for now. Thank you.
Yes. Well, thank you for that insight. You know, there's a large Nigerian community here in Chicago. Are there other cities in America that a lot of Nigerians settled, such as New York or L.A. or Cleveland? Do you know, are there certain cities that a lot of Nigerians settled in when they came here?
Oh, yes, yes. New York, especially New York City, L.A., California, and Washington, Washington. Yeah, there are so many cities. You know, some people always waited till the last minute to see what other people are doing. Then before you know it, you know, they will come out and do it bigger than the way you anticipated. You know, Nigerians are very colorful people, you know, and we like to party, you know. So if you come to that event on Sunday, October 3rd, at the Harambee House, you will know that you will think that there's no problem in Nigeria at all. Because when it comes to celebrate, I think Nigerians are number one. You know.
I've been to some Nigerian parties. I know.
oh my goodness! You will not even think that there's any problem in Nigeria. You know, and, you know the song that says, "You know, dance your sorrow away." You know. You gotta forget about the problem and just focus on the future and dance your way. Yep.
I mean, that's a good thing though, that at least
it is.
In celebrations people are able to come together. But I guess there are some other issues. I know President Barack Obama, when he spoke, I believe he spoke to a group, and he was kind of alluding to the fact that there is a lot of conflict within the various African countries. And so basically he was saying that there's only so much the United States can do to help if you're in conflict with each other. But I think a lot of it, as most things have to do with you know, money, Nigeria is very oil rich, and
yes,
I'm sure that lends itself to, you know, possible attempts for other nations to try to make deals or even be a little corrupt. But in terms of its economy, I know that, you know, there's a bustling economy there. Are there some opportunities for trade with other business people here? I know that the African-American community would like to expand in a lot of ways. But I think sometimes there's the ignorance that we have of some of the things that people on the continent are facing and trying to overcome. I think there are a lot of cultural misunderstandings. Last week we had a guest on from Nigeria, and she's the founder of an organization. Her name is Mercy Makinde, and she's the founder of an organization against domestic violence. And
okay,
we were talking about, is there a difference between American-born men and African-born men in terms of attitudes toward women, even, because I know a lot of relationships where people will marry from another culture. You know, I've had some friends that have Nigerian husbands. Sometimes it gets a little intense because I think there are some cultural differences in terms of what men expect of women. Have you noticed that there's a different expectation when it comes to personal relationships between, say, Nigerians and Americans?
Oh, yes. See, in the case of Nigeria and America, cultural differences, first of all, you have to take it one by one. You have to first diagnose the issue of Nigeria, you know, as far as culture is concerned. First of all, you have to learn what kind of components of people or religion or tribe that Nigeria as a country is facing. You know, there are three major tribes in Nigeria, at least three. You know, you have to, you know, mention Hausa, Yoruba, and Igbo. Hausa, Yoruba, and Igbo. There are so many hundreds of those ethnic people, but the most famous one, and the one I just mentioned to you, Hausa, Yoruba, and Igbo. The culture of Yoruba is different from the Hausa. The Hausa culture is different from the Igbo. So that's the more reason why they are going through what they are going through right now. They say everybody should go to their own way because of economic differences, cultural differences, tribal differences. Then Nigerian people have nothing in common. Why should they be together? But you know, there are some people that feel like, look, we made it through independence in 1960. We went through a civil war in July of 1967 all the way to January 15, 1970. The civil war was terrible, was horrible. Millions of people were killed senselessly, unnecessarily. So, but we went through that, we passed through that, we were able to come back together, and then, you know, they adopted American democratic system, saying that, okay, maybe if we go to democracy, you know, this might be better. Yes, now they are struggling with that, with democracy in Nigeria. But that's not the point. The point about the cultural differences. So once you know the background, the cultural background of Nigeria as a whole, then you'll be able to understand the difference between marriage in America to Nigerian people. If they come from Yoruba tribe, which I come from, yeah, the husband expects the wife to submit, especially if they are Muslim. See, that's another topic entirely there.
Yes, we talked about that. Yes.
Yeah, but if you are a Christian, if you come from Christian background, they adopted the Western culture, you know, which means that, hey, men and women, they are, you know, they are equal rights. If I'm your wife, I'm not supposed to be going to your kitchen and cook for you every day as if I'm your slave. And the husband would be like, look, I'm the one that's working. I'm providing you with, you know, money. Why wouldn't you cook for me or probably wash my clothes? So the Christian wife would not go for that. But then there's some Christian woman that will say, look, I'm going to follow what the Bible says in the book of Proverbs chapter 31. Husband, you know, be a good wife, you know, submit to your husband. In modern days, the woman will say, well, okay, why about someone being his own part too, you know? But I don't want to go too much into that. So it doesn't take a rocket scientist to understand the cultural differences between Nigerian and African American. But the main thing, though, the takeaway is that if there is this thing called love, L-O-V-E, if there's a real love between that association, within that union, believe me, all these all this issue about husband submitting to wife, or no, I'm not supposed to be your slave. I think love will conquer all that. Love will conquer all
it
that.
Should happen.
So,
ideally, that's what should happen. And I always feel that the relationship has to be based on love, not on fear or, you know, dominance. But
yes.
You do something for someone out of love. And if that's
yes.
present, then there's no problem. The sister that was on the last Saturday, not this past Saturday, but the week before that, the Nigerian sister, Mercy McKende, she was telling us about how in her life she actually, at 17, her father kind of pushed her to marry this guy that was older than him. And so it was definitely
mm-hmm.
not a match in terms of, you know, equals. And he ended up beating her, and, of course, she ended up leaving him. But she said there was a lot of social pressure to stay in that marriage, even though it was abusive. Is that still a large part of the culture of, you know, maybe arranged marriages or marriages that are kind of, you know, made because the person has money and the family wants to marry the daughter off to somebody who has money, even if he's much older? Is that still... Which of the family groups, which of the tribes would most likely do that sort of thing still today?
The Hausas.
The Hausas?
The Hausas in the north, yeah. The Hausas in the north. That is their culture, you know. I'm not saying
that
Zulu is bad.
Small.
But,
yeah.
You know, that's their culture, yeah. You know. So some people will look at it as, wow, that's barbaric. That's barbaric. How do you force a woman to marry a man when there's no love there? And to even make it worse, according to the Islamic rule, a man is allowed to marry a young girl as young as 12 years old. It happens all the time. 12 years old, she's just a baby. But hey, that's the rule. That's the culture, you know, it happens.
So do the women agree to that, or do they have a voice in it, or do they uphold it because that's the tradition?
Yeah, they can have voice in it. They can talk to their parents inside their house, but the rule still goes, especially if the parents have taken money, the dowries, from the this potential husband, you know, if they have made a commitment, they have agreed, they have taken the money, the girl, the young woman can disagree, can argue vehemently. No, that's not right. But she doesn't really have mouth to speak. Because she must have already learned the culture, that's the culture, you know. So, I'm very surprised. Yeah, the woman, the young lady, they are usually very submissive. Yeah, they usually agree. You know, maybe after they have gone through a kind of argument, and they realize that, well, it's not a win-win game. You know, they cannot win, so they just submit. Yeah, they agree. Yeah, I've seen a scenario where the young girl ran away from the parents. Like over my dead body, I'm not gonna do that. But they have a way of, you know, tracking her down. They, you know, they bring her back to you know, to the original promise to marry the men. So yeah.
Wow. So I mean,
yeah.
I guess it comes down to you agreeing to stay in a situation in which you're forced. Because you don't have a choice.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
What happens when women go abroad or somewhere else where the culture is different and they're allowed to voice their opinion? Do you notice a change? Like, I'm sure you've seen, you know, Nigerian women here, maybe even Hausa women here in America that have a whole different attitude. Does this place... Because I had one of my friends from Nigeria, he said that women here are ruined because they don't know how to submit to a man. That was
mm-hmm.
his perspective. Would you say that that is the case? Does that create a problem, or does that just make the man have to adjust? What is your thought on that? I know you have to leave soon, so I won't keep you too long, but yes.
Yeah, okay. That's not the kind of thing I like to talk about, because it depends on which house you go to. It depends on which family you go to. Yeah, it's a very common thing to see a woman to be submissive, to respect her husband. You know, it's not even only the Christian women that do that. Many Muslim women that I know, they do that too. Even the people that don't even believe in any religion. And let me give you a case in point. You know, there's a king in Yoruba land. It's very popular around the world now. You know, call him Oni of Ife. I don't know if you heard that. Honey of Ife is the king of all. He's the king of all the Yoruba kingdom. And he married this new wife. I think they've been married since 2015. The woman is a very popular Christian woman. So she married a new king. But she did something that is very, very inspirational. On the public TV, on the public platform, you will see her kneeling down to her husband, kneel down to her husband, greeting him with her respect. We almost lost that culture until she brought it to the scene that, wow, if a whole princess or queen can kneel down to another man who's a husband and a king, then that should be a motivation for many other women to say, wow, if this woman can do this to the to her husband, the king, then there's no reason for you not to respect your husband, you know, in that form. Unfortunately, it's not always the case that, are you not? Why should I kneel down for you? You're not my father. You know? But anyway, it's a good culture. It's a good cultural thing to follow, though. Yeah, so, I like that.
You know, I'm feeling the responses of women here. If you're on our switchboard now and you have a question or comment for our guest, please just press 1 now. He is pressed for time. He's got to leave soon. So I'm going to hold our commercial break until after he's gone, because I don't want to, you know, keep him waiting. But if you have a question, press 1. If you're on our switchboard, if you're listening online and want to join this conversation, give us a call, 515-605-9325, and press 1 so we know you have something to say. We're talking to Olawale Idris, publisher of Africa USA Today magazine, a wonderful magazine. If you're joining us on Facebook, you can see this beautiful cover of our dear friend Congressman Danny K. Davis, who has been an 11-term member of the House of Representatives and definitely one who supports much of the legislation that is empowering for our African brothers and sisters who have gone through many of the struggles of independence, of getting over colonial rule, of economic empowerment. And so we realize we are in a global community, and all of our actions are affecting each other. So what have you heard in terms of how Nigeria is handling the current crisis with COVID-19? Are they in lockdown? A friend of mine in Ghana was saying that they really have not had the severity that other countries have had, probably because they haven't had as many, immigrants from China and other places where they're spreading it. But what has been the situation in Nigeria with COVID-19?
I have to say that I give them kudos. You know, the medical personnel over there, I really give them credit. They're doing a very good job. Even though there are so many people that have passed away due to this COVID-19 pandemic, but the country is handling it pretty good, I'll say. You know, judging from the fact that they don't have the kind of amenities that Western nation or American country have, even despite all these solutions that the American people have, look how many people have died, you know, especially you know, last year and earlier this year. So comparing that to African nation, I think I'll give credit to a lot of medical staff over there for, you know, standing up and taking this pandemic by the horn. Yes, of course, I know many people that died, you know, from my old friends, you know, over there. But there are still many, many people that are surviving it. So you have to give credit to, you know, to God and to the medical staff over there. Yeah, we don't know where we go from here. Yeah, we don't know where we go from here, but I'm telling you, since American people are going back to work gradually and many offices are opening gradually and business and entertainments are picking up, so African nation, Nigerian nation, they are keeping up with what American people are doing to resolve this horrible pandemic. So I give them a lot of credit for that.
Well, what do you think they're doing differently in Nigeria that's working that maybe we could learn from?
Well, I think the reverse would be true. They want to know, they want to learn from what Americans are doing to resolve this pandemic. But I know one thing, you know, Nigerians, they are very, you know, strong, energetic people. They don't give up easily. And I think one of the advantage for the African or Nigerian people is that before you travel to any country, even before the pandemic broke out last year, 2020, before you leave your country, you have to get this immunization. You know, you have to get the immunization to protect you against any diseases in whatever country that you go to. So I think those immunizations, those injections, really working well for a lot of people. In my case, I'm a good example of that. Before I left Nigeria in 1980, you know, you have to make sure they give you this immunization, this injection, which is really working well, which is really working well for me. Even when I get to this country, you know, I've never been sick, you know, I mean, I've never been sick or even go to the hospital for any major issue. So when the government made it in this country, in Chicago especially, when the government made it compulsory or mandatory or advised for you to go and take your vaccine, at first I was reluctant. I did not want to take it because I feel like, you know, I'm still immune from the injection I got from Nigeria. But then, you know, it came to a time that you have to realize that, well, it's not even how your immune system is strong or not strong. It's about you looking at people dying from, you know, left to right, right to left, everywhere. I think the smart thing is to do is to go and, you know, get that vaccination, which I did, you know, since February, and thank God I did. So it's working well for me. People in Nigeria, I don't really follow exactly how they are tackling it, but from what I see on Facebook or on social media, I know worrying about the pandemic is not on their number one list. They have many things that, you know, they were concerned about, especially economy and political unrest in Nigeria. I think that's more important to them than worry day and night about the pandemic. You know, that is not to say that they are not going through it, but I think they don't let the pandemic keep them down from doing what they have to do. Yep.
Oh, my fault. Yes, my fault. My phone muted. Yes. So I know that there's a lot of there's a very large urban population there, and. Most of the Nigerians that I've met are, you know, city people. But is there a large farming community there, a lot of commercial farms where there's exports of food products abroad, or is it mostly, like, local family-owned farms? Well, what is the food production there, like what you've observed? Oh, I think our caller dropped. One of the things that we have noticed is that when it comes to our international relations, a lot of what we are not aware of as Americans is that we tend to be very wasteful of what we produce, and we tend to not think in terms of how we could be better interacting with our neighbors abroad. One thing I do like about Africa USA Today magazine is that it's a way for us to remember that the world sees us differently than the way we see ourselves, and we definitely need to Thanks for calling back. One of the things that I was expressing is the fact that Americans aren't aware of how what we do impacts the rest of the world, and even our policies when it comes to supporting various efforts. During the time when Nigeria was working toward its independence, was the American government helpful, or were they kind of supporting the British? What do you recall about that?
Oh. Check your mute. Can you hear me? Check your mute.
Yeah.
I think your phone might. Oh, there you are. Yes.
Yeah. Where regarding to whether Americans were involved in the Nigerian process of getting independence, even before 1960.
Yes.
The record did not really show. Let me take this note. The record did not really show the American involvement, especially the USA. The other European country, especially British, and maybe Portuguese, the Italians, they were in the forefront of Nigerian getting the independence, because it was a big struggle for the British to colonize, to let Nigeria go, to let Nigeria get independence. So many other European countries, especially the Italian, the Portuguese, they really step up and help the process to expedite the independence process. So we don't really keep the record of many American people that really got involved. Ironically, today more Nigerians are more used to American system, American democracy, along the line. I'm not sure how or why did that happen. Well, I guess the people that have tried British European parliamentary system, they feel like, wow, they need something different. They need something new. That is why I think it was in 1983 they first adopted the American democratic system. But since then it has always been one struggle another. Especially when the British gave independence to Nigeria, it was not too far, not too long after that, that the civilian, you know, adopted the civilian political system, you know, like almost like a democracy, you know, rule of I forgot what they call that. You can see I'm talking so fast right now because I'm running late for my job. But we don't really keep the record of the American participation in Nigerian independence until recently, that people gravitating towards the democratic system. So, yeah. Hello?
Beautiful.
Hello?
Ah, yes. You'll get your copy of Africa USA Today magazine. So now, we appreciate those of you who are listening in and who are a part of this discussion. And, of course, I believe we've been joined by our American Muslim 360, Kareem Hami. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Alhamdulillah. Late, but I'm here. I don't know how I got my schedule all jumbled up. Oh, but I apologize for my error, and I'm telling you, maybe I'm. My plate might be too full, but I apologize for my lateness and being tardy. That this is a very important broadcast, the female solution. It is very, very important, and I want to give it the attention that it rightfully deserves and needs. So, alhamdulillah, I'm human.
Well, you know, we all are. I mean, I've had a couple of little issues this morning, but and our guest today, he graciously agreed to a 15-minute interview. I kept him, you know, at least an extra 15 minutes because he's on his way to work. Olawale Idris, publisher of Africa USA Today magazine, joined us earlier, and we were talking about, of course, interesting, a couple of the issues that have arisen on one of our previous shows about the culture of various people and how it impacts relationships. His latest edition of Africa USA Today magazine, I'm showing our viewers on Facebook Live. If you want to join us on Facebook, that's go to Facebook and go to the Female Solution, and you'll see my face. And one day you'll see Karina needs things. We're working on that.
Yes, inshallah.
But one of the things that he explained was within Nigeria, which we know, I think Nigeria has the largest black population of any nation. He was explaining that there are three major family groups, three major tribes that are there, and each has a different culture. You have the Hausa people of the north, who generally tend to be Muslim. You have the Igbo people, and you have the Yoruba people. And each one, you know, there's a cultural difference. Now, we know that when the Europeans decide to carve up the continent, they just kind of group people together. They had nothing to do with the natural groupings that people had because of their family groups. And so that's what a lot of the conflict is in many of the nations today. And those of us who kind of know a bit of the history about that, we know that's what happened. And he was explaining about the upcoming Nigerian Independence Day, and they're celebrating independence from Great Britain. October 1st is Nigerian Independence Day. So, you know, and just looking at what happened to us as a people, there's a lot of unhealed wounds we inflicted upon each other, wounds that others inflicted upon us. And so we had a chance to kind of talk about a few things. And, of course, if you're listening online and want to join this conversation, feel free to give us a call, 515-605-9325, and press 1 when you're ready to speak, and we'll come right to you and get your thoughts. Now, I want to throw a thought out there because we did talk about this, and for those, so we want to let you all know that we are bringing back our men-only discussions on the Female Solution Global Radio TV show that will be hosted by our co-host Karim Hamid every fourth Wednesday of the month. So we have one coming up on the 22nd of September, which is next week. And I've invited a number of, you know, prominent men to come and give their point of view. What women would like to know is, how do you handle anger, and what things make you angry, and has it ever moved you to a state of violence? And if so, how are you able to calm yourself down? And this is kind of this is a key thing in relation, because handling anger is critical, and we know that we are provoked by many things in our society. And so these are things that often don't get addressed because there's a lot of suppressed anger. So that's one of the topics we'd like to hear from the men. And we're going to have our men-only discussion next week. And then what we'll do as women, we'll have an after show on Facebook where we can talk about what we heard. But we're not going to interfere with the conversation because we want the men to be able to speak freely without hearing our voices and our opinions, so that they can feel like they're having a private discussion about some pertinent issues. But we got to take a break. I didn't take a break while he was on, because we had to leave. But we do want to give our listening and viewing audience a chance to call in about this question. When it comes to relationships, and we speak of interracial relationships, do you think you have more in common with people who were born in America and were raised in American culture, or do you have more in common with people who happen to have the same skin color that you have? Think about that, because I've seen a lot of people say, I'm going to marry a black man, and they marry somebody from another country, and the culture is totally different. And I've seen this across the board, just not with black people. But I want to think about that. You know, when it comes to who's compatible, Is it skin color, is it upbringing? We'll be right back. We'll talk about that and get your thoughts on that, Kareem. What do you think is the thing that makes more compatibility? The color you're wearing or the culture in which you were raised? Even if your color is different.
That's an easy one.
We'll get to commercial break.
Okay.
Right back and get All right, we'll be right back after this quick break. And if you're listening online and want to join this conversation, give us a call, 515-605-9325, and press 1 when you're ready to speak. We'll be right back with our co-host, Kareem Hamid, and American Muslim 360 family. And we'll be right back. So we want you to stick and stay. Don't stray away. We'll be back in a moment. So stay with us.
Do you worry about finances, family, health, job, relationships? Are you in pain? Do you feel stuck? If you answered yes to any of these questions, help is available. Don't worry, you're not alone. It's part of the human process. You only feel this way because you haven't mastered the voices in your head. No hype, just down to earth, solid, workable tools and techniques that you can practice daily. It's really food for the soul. Whether you want to learn how not to worry about anything, reverse type 2 diabetes, publish a book, promote your product or service, or just make extra money. To take advantage of the deal of the day, go to ZeldaSpeaks.com or call 312-409-6619. Mention promo code The Female Solution and get free shipping. That's ZeldaSpeaks.com or 312-409-6619. Stop worrying today. Visit ZeldaSpeaks.com.
I'm Viata, your holistic life coach. These days, it's more important than ever to work on your physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual health. Are you consciously breathing deeply in stressful moments? Do you have a plan or daily routine to maintain balance in your awesome body? Are you struggling to be disciplined in your eating habits? When you partner with me, I'll help you develop a personalized health plan that works for your particular lifestyle. You can find out more about me at yourholisticlifecoach.com, where you can also review my 3-step protocol to guide you to abundant health. That's yourholisticlifecoach.com, and I'm Viata.
This is Minister Cynthia Marie Williams, spiritual counselor and advisor. I invite you to a private reading in the areas of business, health, finances, relationships for introductory cost of $20. Please call because there is a higher power that can help me help you. 312-802-4743. Peace and blessings to you all. Call me. 312-802-4743.
The Female Global Radio TV Show invites you to an invigorating conversation with our team of hosts Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time. Start your week with Monday Morning Mindfulness with Zelda Speaks. Tuesdays, Self-Care with Jody Toussaint. Wednesdays, Repairing Broken Families with Naima Latif and co-host Kareem Hamid. Thursdays, Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And Fridays, Health and Well-Being with Viata. Saturdays, tune in 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time. First Saturday, Success Strategies with Jana. Second Saturday, Wendy Williams Esquire on Relationships. Third Saturday, Move Around with Deborah. And fourth Saturday, Wisdom with Mama D. Join us Sundays, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time for Soul Purpose Healing with Viata. Call in and comment, 515-605-9325, press 1 to speak to the host and be a part of the solution. And we are back. You're listening to and watching the Female Solution Global Radio TV Show. I'm Naeem Latif, and you're joined by my co-host, Kareem Hamid. And we're having an interesting discussion. We, of course, earlier today had as our guest, the publisher of Africa USA Today magazine, Oluwole Idris. Excellent magazine. Definitely gives us a view beyond our borders, and also helps us to remember that we are all the same, and yet we are different because of our different experiences. So before the break, Brother Kareem, I was asking the question, we have more in common with people who have the same skin color or people who've been raised in the same culture. What are your thoughts on that? And, of course, one of the reasons why I asked that question is because I've had friends who wanted to marry, you know, I got to have a black man. I want somebody from the motherland, you know, and they married someone who was of African heritage, African birth. And in some cases it was, you know, a good experience, kind of different, but, they adjusted. Some cases it was a disaster. And our guest today, he talked about the different concepts of what the relationship between men and women should look like based on the culture of the man. And he said with the Hausa culture, definitely it's, you know, woman submit, serve me. That's the expectation, which is not the same expectation depending on how you were raised, but not necessarily an American woman attitude for sure. So I've seen some clashes there. And then I have friends and family who have married people who are Caucasian and went very smooth because there were so many things that they had in common, so many common experiences. So the color difference really didn't matter that much. But I think when we think in terms of compatibility, sometimes we look at the color we're wearing and not our life experience. But what is your thought on that? Is compatibility more skin color or cultural experience and how you were raised? What's your thought?
Even when we married from what we say inside of our race, there are cultural differences. If one is raised in Biloxi, Mississippi, there's a distinct... Yes, there's a distinct culture from someone that is raised in Plainfield, Indiana. There is a cultural difference. We have experienced that. We know that. For one that has been raised in New York, which is a very hustle bustle, multiplicity, very fast moving, in some cases very I'll share my own experiences having visited New York. People, the streets will be crowded. People will bump into you and almost knock you down and never look back. Never.
Wow.
Say, excuse me. Yes. I saw a woman crossing the street, and the street was crowded. She had a lot of shopping bags in her hand. The light changed. The crowd moved. She fell. They almost trampled her. No one stopped to help her up, get her the parcels that she was carrying. That's a whole different dynamic. That's a different culture. New York is the commercial hub of the world, and everything is fast moving, very crowded. Mm. But if you are from a small town in Indiana, there's a different mindset. Life is slower there, I'm quite sure, than in comparison to New York. which breeds a way of thinking, a certain taste for an environment, and how you think, feel, and behave. So there can be cultural differences right inside of the race. So I would not say that we're guaranteed success if we just marry inside the race. I do encourage, I have to be honest with you, I do encourage that we, as much as possible, that we marry one another. But that is not an essential. If we just utilize that, just the criterion of the pigment of our skin, we will make a lot of mistakes, mistakes. For there are human beings that share similar circumstances, similar values, similar environments, similar ways of thought, similar ways of feeling, and they may not have the amount of melanin in their skin. That's just their skin. But there is another important entity that goes far beyond just the pigmentation of one's skin. That is one's experience, the value systems, a regard for another person. That can come from any human being, It is not just within one's particular race. So I applaud us that we have grown beyond skin color, because skin color is not an indication of righteousness. Skin color is not an indication of excellent value system or an excellent mate. We have to look beyond that. We have to look beyond the pigmentation of one's skin. And here's another thing. Sometimes love just happens.
Yes.
Allah says to us in the Quran, it is He who has placed love and mercy between your hearts. Now, there is no skin color indication within that. But our beloved Prophet Muhammad have encouraged us to marry those in the region in which you live. Why? Because of what I just mentioned, the similarity in taste, culture, experience, values, that reduces the clash that may occur if you marry from outside of your culture. Now, you are not prohibited from doing that, because it is the admixture of culture that have enriched this world that we live in. It is the mixture of it that has really enriched this world that we live in. So I think we should not just use skin color, but really truly get to know the inner content of your prospective mate, their values, their goals, their sentiments. So I'll stop right there, Naima, but an excellent subject matter that I think we have to accept, that human beings are going to be human beings and they are going to love one another. There's no stopping that.
Well, you know, it's an interesting thing. I have a number of friends from many different countries, and in some cases there is extreme pressure for the children to marry within, you know, the community group, the family group, the class, the caste, you know, all of these things. I have a relative who married someone, well, of course, he happens to be Caucasian. She happens to, I think she's from Saudi Arabia, I'm not sure, or it's one of the Muslim countries. Anyway, her family kind of disowned her after
she married him. I think they met at school or something like that, which happens, you know, you go abroad and you marry people. I mean, I've got other relatives, you know, nephew that married someone from China. They met when they were both in school in Japan, you know. So there are a lot of different reasons that bring people together, and they discover commonalities. And yet the family can be very hostile if the marriage is to someone from another culture, from another so-called race, even from another religion. But you have two souls that are drawn to each other. And I have seen some extremes. Even I heard of one of my daughter's friends, as a matter of fact, told her of a situation where one of their associates, one of their friends, she married, she was from a Muslim family, and I think it might have been Pakistan, married an African-American, and was later found dead, and it was considered what they call an honor killing, like you shame the family, so you destroyed our honor, so we, you know, and there was no, I don't think there was any inquiry as to how it happened or whatever. They just, it was just quietly let go. But, of course, all of her friends in America, they were horrified and distressed. But this was kind of a cultural attitude, like you don't marry outside of our people. You know, you don't shame the family that way. So I see some intense responses to interracial, intercultural marriages when there's a strong belief that you must marry within our particular clan, our particular group. One of the things that our guest, Olawale Idris, was explaining, even within Nigeria, when you have three distinct cultures of people and there are distinct behaviors, expectations, and all of that. So you can live in the same country. Like you just said, you can live in the same country, be the same skin color, and still be of totally different cultural experiences. So how do you go about discovering something as unseen as culture? I guess you have to really have an in-depth conversation about things in order to discover when there are major differences in attitude. And I don't think anything is particularly right or wrong, is compatible or incompatible. And I recently had to wrap my head around the thought that, you know, women who are in cultures where the agreement is there's a dominant submissive relationship. Hey, if everybody agrees with it, everybody's cool with it, it's not for me to say, well, yeah, girl, you shouldn't be taking that behavior. No, it's not my business. You know, if you all agree that this is what works for you, hey, not my business. So that's one thing. But there are instances where there may be abuse to the degree that perhaps there should be expressions of concern from the wider human family when maybe there is a cultural practice that is harmful and hurtful and damaging.
Compatibility is very important in marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Imam Muhammad Rahimahullah Alayhi has encouraged us to get married. He said, but also tie your camel. So the discovery process, it shouldn't be a quickie. I need to know as much about you as possible. If I'm incorporating you within my life and you within mine, don't rush me. You know what I'm saying? This is too important. Right. I don't care. I met him last month, and y'all what? Oh, we're getting married. We're so happy.
6 months later, they're in court. And he's saying, I can't say she. Why? Because we have not tied our camel. You want to know the person that you are connecting your soul,
yes,
not just our body. So visiting their family, see how that they interact with them. Be observant of the cultural norms that is theirs. And whatever you see, ask yourself, can I live with that?
Yes.
You know, can I, and be honest, I'm not going to subject the rest of my life to that environment or that type of behavior. I don't want to languish in pain. So yes, it is the courtship process is very important, very important. There are cultural norms in other regions of the earth that I know do not fit me, do not fit me. I know that. So, but there are ways of reaching a middle ground if both parties are willing to meet a middle ground. There are some things that are tolerable, and if properly adjusted, it can be compatible. But those things that you know that you cannot tolerate, that you cannot live with, I would suggest to you, do not place your soul in that. Don't place yourself in that, and then later on, you're complaining, and here come the lawyers, and here come the judges, and all of that, you know. So this is an important subject matter that we are dealing with here. You notice I use the word adjoining of souls.
Yes.
Not just bodies, you know.
Right.
Not just bodies. So do a thorough investigation and be honest with yourself and with that prospective partner that you are looking at. His life goes beyond him. Look at his family, his friends, associates. Very important. Likewise, men do that with women also. Because there have been intercultural marriages that have worked. And why? Because they came to a medium, I'm quite sure. Or else it was something that really wasn't that impactful, that important. You know, and God says to us in the Quran, I made you different nations, colors, and tribes, so that not that you despise one another, but that you become familiar with one another.
Right.
Look at the many cultures that we are enjoying here in the United States of America. There's African cuisine. There's African dress. There's Asian cuisine. There's Italian cuisine, and so we are sharing our cultures with each other. What a wonderful table that has been set. And likewise, even with interracial marriages, I have a very good friend. She had been married several times to African-American men. This is not a knock on African-American men, but it just didn't work. There was a Caucasian that I know. I'm aware of him.
Mm-hmm.
That truly, he showed that he truly loved this woman, truly loved her. And she came and spoke with me and asked me, what do I think? I said, if that man loves you and he means the best for you and your children, don't you let skin color stand in the way of your happiness and the future of your children. They got married.
And every time you see her, boy, she's just beaming from it, just a smile. I have no doubt about doing well.
Wow.
Because what? He was a real human being, and she is too. We are human. We are one species. So
yes,
I'm not against interracial marriages if it is for the proper reason and those people reach the position of love and tranquility between those two. Who am I to, you know, just based on the melanin in someone's skin? Stop, y'all. Stop. Stop.
It takes
That's
a lot
okay.
of growth. You know, it is, but there's a generation, and I know it was, well, I tell you, I know it was challenging for my parents growing up in the South. Because two of their daughters did, in fact, marry Caucasian men. And marriages are wonderful. The men are great. Love them, all that. Love my brother-in-law. They're wonderful people. But I know it was challenging for my parents, having grown up in the Jim Crow South, to see that.
Yes.
And to come to accept this and realize that these are two souls, as you said. But some places they can't let go of that thought. Look, you don't marry outside of our people, and that
that's right.
That can really be a problem with them. And I think it was one of the biggest challenges that I had in my marriage, because my husband, it in the beginning his beliefs about the interracial marriages, I think it affected him in a way that he felt that they were saying, oh, black men aren't good enough. And that wasn't the case. I think he kind of took it personally in the beginning instead of seeing it, well, these are women who found men who were compatible who happened to be Caucasian. So, you know, building that family harmony was a challenge for us in the beginning. Plus, I married someone who was Muslim and our family grew up Christian, and so like I was the rebel in marrying outside of the religion, and then at the time the religion of Islam was thought to be hostile toward white people. That was the perception. So we had a lot of interesting family dynamics at our family gatherings, and it took some years, and it took the children of all the families to finally create the kind of family unity that we should have. But that second generation, they didn't have any of that programming that we had. So they could just, you know, be happy and loving and joyful and accepting without all of that. And I'm thinking that's really what it takes. We got to take our last commercial break. When we come back, we're going to take a call from Mama D, get her perspective as one of our wise elders and certainly one who has come through a lot in terms of their racial and cultural clashes in this society. Is it easier to
We have a caller here on the M360 board also, 248-5595. We'll get with you after these public service announcements.
All right. Well, we'll be right back after this quick break. If you're listening online and want to join this conversation, give us a call, 515-605-9325, and press 1, and we'll be right back after this break, so stay with us.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Global Radio TV show. We are a part of the online network of Associated Internet Radio hosts, On Air. On Air empowers you with transformative news and interactive radio TV shows. This is such a wonderful time to be alive and to see our human family coming together as one community as a result of that powerful tool, the Internet. We can now talk directly to each other all over the world. There's no need for conflict or misunderstanding. There's no need for violence to solve our differences. We can talk to each other face to face until we reach an agreement. On Air offers a fantastic global guide to communicators from all over the world who are using their internet platforms to inspire us to strive to be our best selves in order to become the kind, compassionate, loving people we were all born to be. Once we do that, we'll see planet Earth transformed into a place of peace. Subscribe to the recommended YouTube channels, Facebook pages, and podcasts created by these Voices of Enlightenment. On Air provides daily news briefs and a weekly magazine to keep you abreast of events and opportunities. On Air news affiliates in television, radio, and print share information, insight, and interviews with notable personalities. Go to onaireverywhere.com for a daily dose of uplifting news. We're on air everywhere, online all the time.
Hi, I'm Jody Susan with Susan Essentials. I started Susan Essentials in 2015 because of a personal health journey. I was over-medicated and put on 19 different medications. And yes, I reversed all my chronic diseases using plant and energy-based healing. It was amazing. At Susan Essentials, we support both consumers and businesses, and we do that with helping your employees or yourself with a food as medicine mindset. How Susan Essentials supports businesses and consumers is we teach people about a food as medicine mindset. So we support people on how to support their own immune system, how to support their brain health, how to support their emotional well-being. And we do that all with plant and an energy-based healing.
We are back. You're listening to and watching the Female Solutions Global Radio TV Show. I'm Naeem Latif. We're joined with our co-host, Kareem Hamid, at American Muslim 360 Family. And we've got a caller on the line as we ask the question about, is it a better match to marry someone of the same skin color or of the same cultural background? So we're going to take a caller on our switchboard, then we're going to switch over to the American Muslim 360 switchboard, and Kareem, you with us?
Assalamu alaikum.
Yes, I
okay,
think we're
Okay, go
back.
Ahead, my sister.
All righty.
Yes.
So let's take this caller. I believe we've got Mama D on to share her wisdom, Grand Rising. Thank you for joining us today on the Female Solution.
Well, hello.
Grand Rising, Mama D.
Yes, Global Transformers and Solutionary Grand Rising. Boy, that's an easy one. That is so easy. I don't even want to go there. But my second husband was a Muslim. And his idea of good little Muslim wife was different from the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, because he said 75% of his work was with the woman and 25% was with the man. He said, because when you teach a man, you teach an individual, but when you teach a woman, you teach a nation. He said, when you reform a man, you reform an individual. But when you reform a woman, you reform a nation. So therefore, when you're talking about culture, there should be, when it comes to, let's say for instance, your culture believes in genitalia mutilation. And, well, it's your culture. We should just go along to good along.
That's a
crime against humanity. That's a crime against humanity, just like enslavement. And so when it's based on color, you know, during enslavement, whether your child was going to be a slave or born free depended on what your mother was. So if your mother was a slave, then you were a slave. And so when it comes to breaking up the black family, and today they're saying we've got 30% of marriages and 70% of people not being married, it gets back to the man. If you, when you are a man and you got this choice of colors, you can marry the white woman, the Asian woman, the Latino woman. You got all these choices of colors that are different from the color of your mama. And when you marry outside of the culture color of your mama, then you break up the black family because you give the name and you give the inheritance. And especially if you're a wealthy athlete or entertainer, and looks like to me 99 3/4% marry outside of their race. And that is what's breaking up the family, because if a woman marries a man outside of her race, she takes on his inheritance. She takes on his name. So that responsibility is, as far as I'm concerned, is on the man. What do you think?
Well, Zelda, she's given us a statement, our Monday host. She says that grand rising, beautiful people, same cultural background seems more likely. Skin color is a mind game. And I tend to agree, because the same skin color doesn't necessarily mean the same culture, because I'm seeing it in my own family. The men that my sisters married who happen to be Caucasian, the cultural experiences that they had were more similar than, say, if we'd married somebody from, you know, well, Brother Green gave us the example of, you know, somebody from the South maybe having a little more compassion for people than somebody like East Coast, New York, where the people walk over, you don't care anything about you. But also, if you got cultures where some people, you know, they get drunk, fight, beat each other up, you know, call the police on each other. That's not a cultural, you got black people, that's their culture. We grew up. So that's not the kind of family we want to be attached to. But the families that my sisters married into, matter of fact, my father went fishing with the father of my sister's husband. Because, you know, that was culturally, that was what they had in common. So that was, you know, you look at what experience people had. Are they similar? And just being the same color doesn't mean you're the same culture. And I think that's a mistake to make. But Zelda says skin color is a mind game. I agree that it really is. You have to, like Green said, you have to talk to each other. You have to really see, well, what kind of things do you enjoy doing? And if you like the same kind of music, you like entertainment, like food, you know, that could be, you might be totally two different colors. But your experience might have been similar enough where those are the things that you have in common, whereas somebody with the same skin color might have had a totally different life experience that is not compatible with you at all. That's what I think. Well, Kareem, what are your thoughts? And then I think we got another
I agree. You know, the quality of human beings is not an external indication of the internal. And I know the sensitivities that come along with this question due to historical content. You know, that is we will never forget now. I'm not saying forget. But don't live in that. Let us not live in the past. Let's work to repair the mistake. No mistakes. It wasn't a mistake. Let's work to repair the racial rift.
Yeah.
And not dwell, not live. It's a place of reference. Like my brother Mark Shaheed says, it's a place of reference, not a place of residence. We don't want to be stunted in our human growth, you know. But we need to truly, especially if it is someone of the Caucasian race, and I'm interested in her. We are going to have that conversation, no doubt about that. We are not going to ignore the historical context and what is brought forward with that. That is most important.
Yeah, you got to talk about it. We got another caller here, but I'm going to go to the caller on your switchboard first. I think they pressed one first, and then we'll go to area code 863 after that. You want to take that call?
The person that had pressed one on your phone, if you still desire to share with the listening audience, press one on your phone, and I will unmute your mic. Okay, I see no one at this time.
Okay. Change your mind.
Well, I invite you to press one on your phone,
okay,
and I will unmute your mic.
All righty. Well, I'll go to area code 863, Grand Rising. Give us your name, where you're calling from, and your comment.
Right.
Area code 863-815, or 816, I'm sorry.
Well,
are you with us, area code
816? Let me come to you.
Well, I think they're engaged in another conversation right now. We'll come back to them. But, you know, Mama D mentioned something, that the genital mutilation. Now, I certainly would not want to be in a relationship with someone where they were expecting me or my daughter to go through female circumcision. But I understand that it's the women that uphold that practice in the nations that do that. And then I also consider it genital mutilation when men are circumcised. But that is a widely accepted cultural practice that came out of, I'm sure there's a history of that. I don't know what the reason behind it was, other than it was supposed to have been, you know, a sign of something in the Jewish culture. I don't know how it got to be a global thing. If I had a son, I would not.
That is a misreading. Circumcision is a misreading of Scripture. I'll say that. Yes, ma'am. That's where that idea comes from. It comes from out of Scripture, but it is a misreading of that particular passage.
Well, my condolences to all the men who suffered from that misreading. But, you know, people say, well, you know, if it's done in childbirth, the child won't remember. Your subconscious mind remembers everything, and I know there's got to be a trauma. And then someone mentioned, I can't remember who it was, we had a guest that talked about the fact that you're exposing, or might have been one of our hosts, who talked about you're exposing a very sensitive area on a man's body that causes him to experience sexual arousal much earlier than he should for his emotional well-being. That covering is there for a purpose. Our Creator has made no mistakes in the formation of our body. And so that's something to think about. So if we want to raise the consciousness of the places where women are being pressured into female circumcision, and we know that's traumatic, we probably also want to do some education for the places where men are expected to go through circumcision, explaining perhaps that is a misinterpretation, a misreading of Scripture, and that's a practice that we need to let go of because it isn't really physically healthy or it isn't. And I've heard all kinds of different expressions why it's done, but I think we need to grow in our understanding. And some things that we used to do culturally, we need to put aside because we have understood that we misunderstood. I think that's a way to think about it. Let me see if this caller is ready to make a report. Area code 63. Oh, you were going to respond to that, Kareem?
I don't see anyone on this line. Those of you that are listening in at American Muslim 360, I invite you to press 1 on your phone. And I will unmute your mic. We have no one at this time.
Area code 863-816, did you have a comment? Or did you press 1 accidentally?
You know what? I'm just listening.
I
wanted to respond.
Okay, go ahead, Mama D. What is your thought?
Well, I want to say the best sex I ever had was with an uncircumcised man. And I recommend that circumcision. It's totally unnecessary. It's genitalia mutilation. It's a misreading of scripture. I agree with that. And we just should stop going along to get along with something. I remember I used to sing Rockabye Baby in the Treetop until I thought about what I was saying. Now, first of all, who put this baby up in this treetop, knowing full well that when the wind blows, that cradle was going to rock, and then that bough was going to break, and then was going to come baby, cradle and all. And if hitting the ground didn't kill him, then that cradle falling on top of him probably would have killed him. Oh, you just outlined an anatomy of a murder, and there you are singing it. Why? Because you just been going along to get along. So blessed is he who readeth, and blessed is he that thinketh, and has the courage to think his, change his thoughts when they are incorrect.
All right. Do not think about me anymore. That is a violent
lullaby. That lullaby.
Yes. Right.
That you are sharing with us. You know, it just sounds like a little sweet lullaby, but that is a prescription for the society at large. We are looked at as babies in our thinking, as babies in the treetop. The tree represents community life. But when the wind blows, the wind what? Of emotions that bypass your intellect. That you are a baby because you are controlled by your emotions. And when your emotions lead you, the cradle will rock. It won't be stable. And when the wind blows, the cradle will rock, and when the bough breaks, now let's look at that bough. What is the bough of a ship?
Ooh.
The bough of a ship is that extension that it aims for its destination. When you lose that vision, when you lose that type of leadership, and you're just moving on emotion, the cradle will rock, and down will come baby, all of you, baby thinkers. Down will come baby, the society, and all.
Wow.
That is what we are experiencing now.
That is a powerful analogy. Yeah, well, you know, it pays to think deeply about these things, because that is a powerful symbol for sure. And regarding marriage, Zelda says marriage is about business, not about love. Know the history of the marriage contract. Well, that's another thing, because, you know, we've got society that still, and I don't know, if the dowry is considered paying for a bride, because, you know, you have some cultures where you pay a bride price, you pay a dowry. That's one of the things our guest Olawale was saying, you know, there's that cultural practice in some areas where you have to pay a certain amount of money. And, you know, if you have a lot of money, then the family has a lot of status. So they try to marry you off to somebody who can pay a large dowry, a large bride price. But it's kind of like you're buying the woman almost. And if their family can arrange for you to get married to somebody with a lot of money, then it doesn't matter how he treats you. You stay in that marriage because the family is being made wealthy. And that is something to look at as well. Is money more important than love in marriage? Is it better to look for somebody who's got a...
Let me say this.
The poor guy who lives...
Money plays a large part in marriages, in families, period.
It does.
The man is to prepare himself to take on a wife and children. Don't bring her a welfare check and food stamps, and you're talking about about your maintaining her. No, strengthen your financial situation. Go strengthen your financial circumstances so that you can afford the maintenance of another human being, so that you can afford to finance the life of your wife and your children. So women have a right to look at a man's finances. Can he truly afford me and my children? That's an intelligent question to ask. So yes, money does play a part. And what does that do? That causes the man to grow. We have to grow in this financial system that we're in. If my interest is only myself, I will only put forth just that much effort. But if my goal is to be able to properly finance a wife and children, my efforts are increased, and I rise to meet that challenge. And it goes on and on, beyond family, neighborhood, community. I want to be able to finance those things. So yes, money does play an important part in marriage. There's nothing wrong with that being one of the considerations. Don't doom yourself to poverty with an unambitious man. He has no ambition. He's living in his mother's basement. You know what I'm saying? Yes, it is a motivator. It is a motivator for us men to take on greater and greater responsibility. Very important.
I've been told that white women are taught to marry for security. Black women are taught to marry for love. And so black women end up with the poor guy living in his mother's basement, and white women end up with a successful business executive because they look for the finances. You know, in a sense, to each his own. I look at marriage as a partnership where two people are working together to achieve individual and collective goals, and they're supportive of each other. I look at it as a soul contract where you're agreeing to be the companion, the emotional support for that person's soul journey until one of you departs. That's how I look at it.
I agree with that. Could I say something with that? You know, culturally, because it was yellow mellow, brown stick around, and black get back, the darker-skinned girls usually had the light-skinned boys. I'm always glad I had the light-skinned cute boys, you know, and vice versa. The dark-skinned girls tended to gravitate towards the darker-skinned men. But that's a cultural miscommunication, too. But when it gets down to it, You are marrying, you court a woman, but you marry a family. And it's beyond just you and this person that you married. You got in-laws. These are your aunts. These are your relatives. So the family unit, without that, all else is lost. And as I said, with 70% unmarried in the black community, that needs to be our major focus because that is the foundation of everything else we build on.
And that is mutual respect. Yeah. That is true. Well, Mama D, you definitely hit the nail on the head. That is the foundation for everything. Well, we've got to go. Want to remind our listeners and viewers, if you want to get your copy,
we've come to the end of our show today, but you can hear every show in the archives at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. You can also hear today's show on the Female Solution Facebook page. Go to www.facebook.com/TheFemaleSolution. Leave your comments about today's show. You can always reach me on my website at www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com. Watch our TV shows, listen to our radio shows, order our books, and be sure to get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to thank all of you who participated in today's discussion. And to our global family listening from all around the world, we say thank you. To our family in China, Xiexie. India, Zanyaba. Japan, Arigato. Korea, Kamsahamnida. Russia, Spasiba. Germany, Danke. Poland, Dziękuję. France, Merci. Spain, gracias. Italy, grazie. Egypt, shukran. Ghana, medasi. Nigeria, eshe. South Africa, ngiyabonga. Senegal, geret. Kenya, asante. Israel, toda. Pakistan, shukriya. Afghanistan, Tashakur. Saudi Arabia, shukran. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Thank you. And may peace be upon you and the mercy of God and God's blessings.
Solution Global Radio TV Show invites you to an invigorating conversation with our team of hosts Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time. Start your week with Monday Morning Mindfulness with Zelda Speaks. Tuesdays, Self-Care with Jody Toussaint. Wednesdays, Repairing Broken Families with Naima Latif and co-host Kareem Hamid. Thursdays, Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And Fridays, Health and Well-Being with Beata. Saturdays, tune in 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time. First Saturday, Success Strategies with Jana. Second Saturday, Wendy Williams Esquire on Relationships. Third Saturday, Move Around with Deborah. And fourth Saturday, Wisdom with Mama D. Join us Sundays, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time for Soul Purpose Healing with Beata. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to the host and be a part of the solution.